So we had the two dots on the Gimel and the base. Gimel base. We have discovered, what have we discovered so far? We have investigated and we discovered what's the makeup of all the others of the Mazikin, nearly all of them. In Keren, let's just chazara quickly what we discovered. Keren, we said, is when it's kavonaso lahazik, which means there's pure intention of the animal to, for no reason, to cause damage. That's Keren. And then we have the opposite, is regal, he has no intention to damage, he's just doing a daily activity, and of course of that daily activity, he damages unknowingly, without any kavonah at all. And then we have the middle type of damage, which is called shame, consumption, where see, he knows what he's doing, he knows he's damaging, but he's got a drive, or he's, of course, he's getting benefit from it. He's doing it not maliciously, but he's doing it in order to gain benefit. That's something called consumption. Then we saw that we have a mazik called bar, which is, seems to be on the safe surface of things as a passive mazik, that you create something that will cause somebody else to damage himself, which in the eyes of Shmuel, that's really the definition of bar. You create something where somebody will now damage himself on what you create. You passively damage somebody. That's in the eyes of Shmuel, what bar is. Rav seems to be learning that the definition of a bar is not because it's passive. It's because you don't own it. It's something that you don't own. And normally if you don't own, you're not responsible. But since you created it, and then you created that stumbling block, so therefore you're responsible. That's Machlokes Rav Shmuel, how to define bar. And then we came to Eish, and we discovered that Eish, that is a mazik of having it not built into it in all its properties that can damage. It needs always a partner to help it to damage. Maybe that's the intrinsic property of Eish. We haven't really clarified that yet. So shall we get to that thought? Is that the Eish is something which has no life force of itself. That's one definitely characteristic. Eish is a characteristic, and it's something that can damage by moving, actively damage, but with no life force. That's definitely a characteristic of Eish. Maybe also that means it has to have a helper to help it pull the wind in order to be a characteristic of Eish. Okay, so that's the characteristics that we discovered on our journey so far. Another point is that Rav Papa told us out there that there's one tolda out there, which meaning something that's not in the Torah, that is similar to the Av, which normally if it's so similar to the Av, it has exactly the same halacha as the Av. There's one out there which doesn't have the halacha of the Av. In the eyes of Rashi, it means you don't pay. And we discovered finally what that is at the end of last week, and that is Tzoras, which is a tolda of regel, which means the animal is damaging without intention on a normal activity in life, but he's not damaging with his body, but he's damaging with his energy. And energy damage in the eyes of a popper is not enough a comparison to the actual av of the physical damage of the body. And therefore, really should be off the hook. If it would be for this halakha version, you see now you'll be off the hook. And that's what the Prophet told us. So that's what we discovered so far. The dispensation of taking damage taking place in Rosh Hashanah that you don't have to pay is only a letter of clause by Shane Varega. But those two, we'll discuss it later, why Avgamaz, why they, is there any reasoning behind it besides the Gezeirus Hakosav? Okay, so now let's go back to the Gemara, or Gimel on the base. From the two dots, and towards the bottom, it says, Mamava. So the Gemara is saying, what exactly, it says in the Mishnah, in the Mava. What exactly is this? What exactly is this Mava? So Rav, on the Mava, Zer Otom. Rav says, Mava is a human being. Shmo Amar, Mava Ze Hashem. Mava, no, it's not the mazik of a human damaging, it's the mazik of his animal damaging by consumption. That's what the Mishnah means. Okay, so the Gemara carries on. Rav of the Mava Ze Otom. Rav says, no, this Mava in the Mishnah is Otom, and he damages himself. They say, I've got proof. I've got proof that this is true. Because it says, Alma Shona Osa Voka, Kodesh Baruch Hu comes along, and says, Osa Voka, when the loss of lover comes, the God lie there, in top of the oven, yeah, you're going to be held responsible, you're going to be held, a human being is going to be held responsible for his actions and deeds. So we see this loss of Mavir, not exactly Mavir, but it's a Vayim, which is similar to a Mavir, in connection to human being activity. So therefore, when it says in the Mishnah, a damage of Mavir means a human damage, the Odom himself damage. Okay, so that's a proof. The word Mavir means Odom himself. Shmuel says no. Shmuel says Mavir Zeh Hashem. No, it's referring to your animal that damages by consumption. They say I've got proof. That's referring to animal. Zeh Eid Nechapshu Esov Novu Misapodom. It says, you know, again, it's talking about loss of love type of thing, that we find Esau is going to be held, going to be dealt with. Novum is Sabono, it says, in respect to his teeth, it's discussed about his teeth. Novum is Sabono, that he's revealing his teeth. So therefore, we see the loss of love is an effect in reference to teeth. So therefore, obviously, it's a damage through teeth, and therefore that's consumption damage of your ox. Okay? Not so good, liars, because they're not exactly the Loshon Mavir, which we're talking about in the Mishnah. It's like a similar to the word Mavir, which is in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, my Mashal of Chazal, Rabbi Yosef, Itchin is Bajir Esof is Galim Mitamro. How do you know that, how do you know the word Mavir means to do with teeth? So he says, if you go to Rabbi Yosef, who's the famous Targuman, he translates everything. Itzchin Ispashish Esof, he translates it as over here, Ispashish is Galim Mitra Moro. He reveals his teeth. He reveals his teeth. It's something that he covers up and he reveals. So therefore we see Rabbi Yosef is translating this word as something that reveals. And therefore, it's to do with teeth, and therefore, we know it's teeth. Okay? Rav Shmuel seems to be more troubled to fit in the word mazir to his pishat than Rav. Rav, even though Rav brought a pasuk, which is not exactly what the word we're talking about, but at least he didn't need to go to Rav Yosef, the Metagamim, in order to try and get his pishat in. Shmuel, not only had to bring a pasuk, he had to also bring Rabbi Yosef to help him out with the Targum and also prove his point. So Shmuel seems a bit more shaky than Rav. More shaky than Rav on his proof. Yeah. So the Gemara then asks the question, Rav Matama Loma Kushmu. That's a very interesting question. Why is the Gemara jumping on Rav? Out of the two, I would say, already feeling in how they're talking, I think Shmuel's a bit more shaky than Rav. So I would jump on the one who's more shaky than the one who's more strong in his pishats. But the Gemara, for some reason, jumps on Rav and says, my time alone with Shmuel. No, what's wrong with Shmuel? Okay. You seem to imply that Shmuel is a good pishat, and why not go with Shmuel? Okay. We have to understand. And maybe you'll understand later, is why is the Gemara still Rav is a worse pishat than Shmuel, that he has to attack Rav first than Shmuel. Yep. Yes, Abhi. Okay, so if the Gemara feels, Abhi's saying that the both Gemara feels that both no good, and it's just going peseta on what they're saying. Okay. Maybe that's right. So Rav my Tamil Omakushmul. Omlakar. So he says, Mikatoni Nova. What are you talking about? Shmuel. Does it say Shmuel's possible is dependent on the word Nova? It doesn't say Nova, it's a Nova. You know, it's the wrong word. It's the wrong word. Rav says, I don't like Shmuel because it's not the right word. Okay. So small bites of Abba Lakrav. Okay. She also, why didn't you like Rav? Why didn't you like him? Abba Lakrav, because on his bow. So the wrong word. Rav's posuk, Rav's definition is depending on the ring, the posuk, which is not the right word. It's not the Rishon of Mavi. It's Bur. It's Bur. Okay. Bit strange. It's, if the reasoning of Rav doesn't like Shmuel is because it's the wrong word, Rav already knows himself that his word is also the wrong word. So why am I saying I don't Rav? I don't say, I don't like you, Shmuel, it's the wrong word. So Shmuel says, I don't like you because it's the wrong word. So everyone knew that they're using the wrong words, so how can he use that as an excuse not to go with the other opinion? So it's a bit strange, yeah? So that's what they're saying. Shmuel might come along, Rav, not only can tell you, Rav, yeah? Okay, so the Gemara says, I've heard what you both have to say. You're both giving your opinions. And then the Gemara now speaks. Basically, at the end of the day, both of you are not accurate at all. Psukim are not really proofs to your talk, because none of them are really the words which are the Mishnah. So we can't really work out anything from the Mishnah. So let's get to real serious business. Rav, my time of show, really tell me the real reason why you don't like Shmuel. Yeah, don't play around and tell me the excuses which are not real good excuses. I mean, the Gemara itself picked up is that obviously Rav's reasoning that he doesn't like Shmuel is nonsense, because that's the same reason why Shmuel doesn't like Rav. So now the Gemara's saying, Rav, please tell me what the real reason is. Don't tell me these things in the air which are not the true reason. Again, why was Rav trying to hide his reasoning if he's got a real reason? Okay? So Rav, my time along with Shmuel. So why didn't he say like Shmuel? So now he says, Tana Shah for Kol Midat Shah, very simple. Says in the Mishnah Shah, that's the, one of the others, Nezokim, is, others Nezikim is the first one is the Shah, it says Shah, number one is not the Shah. So Kol Midat Shah, when it says Shah, means the ox, ox damages in three fashions. Keren, Shame, Venegal, yeah? So it's all shame. You can't say mavet is shame. It's already mentioned in the word shah. It's already very covered by that. So mavet must be something else. Mavet must be also a mazik. Okay, right? That's our ocean. Tom shakomim shah. Shmuel, name hatani le shah. What's Shmuel going to do with that question? That Shmuel is a very good question. This is a very good question. It says shah. What are you going to do with that? Shah means everything. So Omar Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says, Tonu Shah the Karen Kano Mavir the Shaynam. Enoch Hanami. When it says Shah in the Mishnah, it was only referring to one of the damages which the ox does, and that's the ox damaging through his horn by goring. That's what Shah means. And Mavir, when it says Mavir, it means the ox again, but doing a different type of damage. He's doing the damage through consumption. So Enoch Hanami, it's twice written Shah in the Mishnah, but the first Shah doesn't mean everything, it only means Keren. And therefore, since it only means Keren, the first one, when it says Mavir, I can now use Mavir for Shah again, another type of Shah, a Shah of consumption. And left out Regal. We'll see where does he learn Regal, we'll see where he learns Regal from. So according to Shmuel, only two of the damages which the ox does is written in the Mishnah, the Pharisee, and that is Keren in the form of Shah and Shame in the form of Mavir. That's how Rav Yehuda wants to learn as well. Well, he brings it before H, yeah? It's just, there's a bar in the middle. The bar in the middle. Well, I think that Joseph's on base on the Aleph, answers your question. There, he wants to go according to the state of the Psukim, really. And the state of the Psukim is, the first one is Keren. And then, after, in Keren, then you have Bar, and then you have Shei Berego afterwards. So that's what, that's not a problem. Forget the Mishnah fits nicely with Shmuel in a fashion. Yeah. In fact, Mr. Bloch is really preempted answering a question which you could have. What was the Rav's reasoning why he didn't like Shmuel? He said, because Shah means general. A whole category of Shah, whatever Shah does. And you ask, well, Shmuel, what are you going to do with that? So he avoids the question a bit. He says, no, Shah doesn't mean everything. It means just one, called Kevin. And the mother means shame. Yeah, but that wasn't exactly my question. My question is, the word Shah, it's just jet broad. And Ozara means everything. Because you say Shah, you don't specify. You don't say which one of the Shah, you say just Shah damages. Ozara means all three. That was really the question. Shmuel didn't answer that. Shmuel just said, no, Shah means one. And then Mavi means the other. And the third one we could learn elsewhere. But you haven't answered the question. The word Shah means all three. Why don't you learn Shah's meaning all three? So that in theory is a very good question. And which Shmuel is not answering. So Mr. Bloch has read the evidence. Is that Mr. Bloch is saying the real answer of Shmuel was, is that I wanted to learn that Mavi is shame. Is because otherwise, if you learn Mavi is automatic, then it's the wrong order. The wrong order of the Pesukim. Pesukim is that I want to keep the order of the Mishnah correct according to the Pesukim and Torah. So it says Shah, then it says Ba, then it says Mavi. If you say Shah means all Shah, and Mavi means automatic, it's not true according to the Torah. Automatic is not after Ba and before Aish, it's after everything. So it's the wrong place. Elamai, that's a similar dava, says Shmuel, that Mavi is also Shah, and it's the case of Shame Vereda, and the Mela, now the state is very good. First you go with Shah of Keren, then you have Bar, which is the words of the Torah, the next possible, and then Mavi, another Shah, this time of consumption, and then even then you have Esh. So according to Shmuel, the Mishnah is writing according to how the state of the Sukkim are writing, and therefore that's why he's saying my Peshat is very much better than Mishnah, because that's implied how the Mishnah writes the order. Okay. Ozam Mazik, yeah, he learns, the Gemara's going to explain on Tazak Zamaraf where he's going to learn Ozam Mazik, why he doesn't want to have Ozam Mazik, yeah, he doesn't want Ozam Mazik. More on Tazak Zamaraf explains why. Now we will see some interesting Gemara again. Okay, so now you told me Shmuel, we're going to analyze you Shmuel now how the Mishnah reads. And this is where things get interesting in our discovery of what we've been throwing out as our Chakira for the beginning of Islam. So Hobby comment. Now you're telling me that Shah means ten. And Mave means shame. So therefore, let's put those words into the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? Lo roi hashah, which in this case, lo roi hakeren, she'ein hanor lazeka, karoi hashem, she'eish hanor lazeka. It's not comparable. Keren, which has no hanor after damaging, and if you would just write keren, which has no hanor out of damaging, if you wouldn't only write that in the term, you would not know shame, which is consumption, sheyesh hanor zeka, that you're chayav. So the Gemara is saying, according to the way Yehuda is learning Shmuel, is that the Mishnah is telling us, if you would just write Keren is chayav in the Torah, the ox that goes is chayav in the Torah, that the owner of that ox has to pay, I would not know that shame you're allowed to pay. Yeah, I would know consumption you have to pay. And then it was says, but lo roi hashem, and therefore the continuation of the Mishnah is, and if you just write shame in the Mishnah, or consumption, you know, your ox consumes something the owner has to pay, shame, come on, Mr. Hazi, where he doesn't have any carbonicals damage. Karaya Karen. Well, I won't know Karen. So Kabbalah Sahasik, I wouldn't know that you're going to be hired for damage in the case where your ox has carbonical damage. I won't think you'd be hired to pay for such a damage. So I repeat how the Mishnah is reading according to Rabbi Yehuda, which is now the focus of the rest of the Shiv. How are we going to understand this? Mishnah is saying that if you just write that your ox that causes chayiv, and would tell me that an ox that consumes is chayiv, I would think the owner of the ox that causes chayiv, but when his ox that consumes, he won't be chayiv. Why? Because you know what? So because the ox that causes your chayiv understands, because he has no hana in doing that. But when the ox has hana, you'll be let off the hook, Mr. Owner. Then you'll be off the hook. If you would write it. And similarly, if you would only write an ox which consumes its chayiv for the owner to pay, I would say, yes, of course, you have to pay Mr. Owner if your ox consumes. But I wouldn't think you, as an owner, would have to pay if your ox gores. That I wouldn't think. Why? Because there he has kavanah to damage, and if he has kavanah to damage, for sure you'll be off the hook without writing it. Now, does that make sense? Does it make sense to say that if an ox does damage without any hana from that damage, he's more likely to be liable than an ox that goes with hana? That's the first statement of the Gemara. Second statement of the Gemara, which I feel is more of a Echidish, the second statement says, if the ox damages without intention to damage, malicious intention to damage, then for sure you'll be chayav. But if the ox gores with malicious intention, no, there's no reason why you should be chayav under that circumstances. No, malicious is better. It's better if it's malicious, then you'll be off the hook. Is that statement makes logical sense? A non-malicious damage from the animal, well, he's got reasons to do it at least, is worse than a malicious one. So if you tell me non-malicious, you're right. Malicious one, you're off the hook. Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense at all. Okay, so we read the next line of the Gemara. That's what the Gemara is asking. Love kavachomu? Isn't it the opposite way around? A kavachomu? If you're telling me when the animal consumes and he's not doing maliciously, still he's chayiv. Kenen, an ox which maliciously damaged, follows the hazik. He has intention to damage. That's all his whole purpose. The kosher game, for sure he'd be chayiv, the owner. So what do you mean? That's the Gemara's question. Doesn't make sense. Non-malicious, you're chayiv. Malicious, your potter. Malicious, for sure you'll be chayiv. That's the Gemara's question. So, we have to understand what's the Gemara's havamina. The question is so good that the havamina doesn't make sense at all. What is the havamina of the Gemara that says malicious is more of a reason for the owner to be off the hook? If it's maliciously damaging, okay, that's more of a reason why you're off the hook, Mr. Owner. Why? What's the reasoning behind that? The opposite of Seichon, but how the Gemara itself asks, so what's the havamina? What's the havamina?
Definitely, it could be logical very much.
Mm-hmm.
It could be logical very much, because if it's malicious, you have better chance to protect yourself.
Oh, okay. Very good. Tosfos is bothered with this. So let us see Tosfos in Gimel on the base, the bottom Tosfos. He's coming to explain what the havamina is. Why malicious damage is more of a reason for the owner to be off the hook. So this, let's look at that Tosfos inside. Tosfos says, Leroya HaKeren She'en Hana Lehezeka. Keren, there's no Hana for the damage. Yeah, therefore he's off the hook. Therefore he's Chayef, and the one that has Hana is off the hook. So let's explain Tosfos. Tosfos has said this. But if you would just write Keren, I think you're higher than Karen, more than by saying, why? Because Pashia Pasha, with the Karen, with your ox that horse, you as an owner are more negligent. Why? So you're this Moshe. You should have protected your ox from doing such a naughty thing as damaging with Gori. Why? It's very easy to look after it. Why is it so easy to look after it? And because it's so easy, you're obviously more negligent when it happens because it's easy to do and you don't do it, you're more negligent. So why is it more easy? Because there's nothing driving that animal to cause the damage. So he's got no trigger. There's no natural trigger in an animal to damage by goring. So it's not a natural thing of the animal to do such a thing. It's obviously much easier to control. It's much easier to control. There's nothing out there that will trigger it, which is beyond your control. It's not like something's not in your control, which will trigger his reaction, which you can't protect. Keren is something which has no trigger to it, because there's nothing that pushes him to damage. It's just a malicious damager. So therefore, since there's no trigger over there, it's easier to look after it, to make sure it doesn't happen. Yeah? If there's triggers out there, which are not under your control, you can say, why are you making me chayev? I'm not in control of these triggers. I can't protect, stop the triggers from happening, because I can't do anything about it. So then fine. That's it. Then you're less negligent. But here, there's no trigger by Karen. Just look after the ox. It's easy to do that. Just look after the ox. Forget, there's no triggers out there. Just look after the ox. And if you don't, you say easy. If you don't, you're negligent. Negligent, you have to pay. Carries on. I'm ashamed. But by consumption, where he damages because the ox wants to get some hamar out of it, having an onus. You're not so negligent in protecting the animal from that, because the owner can say, well, what can I do? I'm a bit of an onus. So I offer the shomer kokos. It's less in my control from looking after the ox. I can't look after the ox so well over there, because there's a trigger, of course. He's hungry, that makes him damage. He's got a scratchy back, that makes him damage. He's got flies on his back, that makes him roll over. There's got things out there which I just can't control. So if it happens, well, I can't control the triggers. Karen, you can say I'm negligent, because there's nothing out there that triggers him off. So therefore, it's easy, you don't do it, you're negligent. Shame is much harder to look after. Those triggers that make him do shame, and I can't control those triggers. I can't stop him being starving. I can't really stop him from getting flies on his back. I can't do that. So I'm not negligent so much. So if you write Karen, that you're chayev, I won't necessarily know that you're chayev on Shane, because Karen, you're more negligent because you control that, and by Shane, you're less negligent because you can't control that so well. That is why you need to write Shane, even if you're using Karen, you need to write Shane. That carries on to this. And what's the other side of the coin? Lo roya ha-shein, shein kvonos elahazik. If you just write shein, consumption, the owner's chayev on his animal when he consumes, there's ein kvonos elahazik. He's not doing it because he wants the damage. The ein yetzu tokfo. There's no burning fuel over there that will keep him going. Yes, he's hungry. Yes, he wants to eat that particular vegetable patch. But he ain't yet so toxic. He hasn't got inbuilt fire which once it starts to want to move ahead and consume something, it's now terribly difficult to stop it. Because he's got nothing inbuilt in him that says, I need to damage. He's not angry. If people get angry, go red in the face, and they're out of control. This is not the case. The animal's not red in the face. He's not out of control. Even now, he sees the food, he's hungry, he goes ahead. You can stop him. It's easy to stop. Once it starts, it's easy to stop. Okay? If it starts and it's easy to stop, the kayach nisamah, since it's easy to stop, you can easily guard it from continuing and going ahead with damaging. Therefore, when you don't, you're negligent. It's easy once it starts to stop it. It's easy once it starts to wanting to consume to stop it. So if you don't stop it properly, you're negligent for not doing something easy called stopping it. Haroya can, but once Karen starts, once he gets into that big mood of his, and he starts to mooing like anything on the earth, and he's now going red in the face, Kabbalah Zahazik, and now he says he just wants the damage, and that's all he's interested in the life. Yetzer Tova, he's now got built-in engine of fire pushing him. Ein Yochasar, it's now terribly difficult to stop that once it starts. It's nearly impossible to stop that once it starts, to stop him actually going ahead. Kolkach Yom is not like shame, which is easy to stop. So therefore, the other side of the coin, if you would tell me you're high on when your animal consumes the owner's side, I'd say, you know why you're high? You're more negligent over there. Why are you more negligent? Because, okay, you're not negligent on the trigger, but once it starts that he's hungry and he wants to go ahead, it's easy to stop it. Easy to stop it. You can easily prevent him from going ahead with his plan of damage. And if you don't, you're negligent. But once Karen starts, once he got in his mind, I need to knock this guy over, and he's really angry, it's terribly impossible to stop him at that stage. So you're not so negligent if you don't stop him, because I have no control over him. So Tosis is telling us that something which hasn't got Kavanah Lahazik is more negligent than something which has Kavanah Lahazik. Why? Why, when your animal damages without Kavanah Lahazik, are you more negligent than when your animal damages with Kavanah Lahazik? So the answer Tosis is giving to our question. What's the answer Tosis is giving? Because when it's not Kavanah Lahazik and he wants to go ahead and damage, therefore, what's going to be it's going to be very for the owner at that stage. Now, if you have no commander to have damage, you can step in even at that late stage, you can step in and stop it. And if you don't, you're negligent. But who says without writing Karen, I would say, if you just write that in the Torah by saying, say, okay, that's why you're paying. You're paying because you didn't stop it. You didn't stop it, you're paying. But if you don't tell me Karen that you're high, I would say, well, hold on, by Karen, that you're not so negligent. Because once he starts the process of making the charge at that stage, and he's got something in his head, then is it easy to stop? No. So therefore, since it's hard to stop, you're not called as accountable for that stop, not stopping, and therefore not looking at him after at that stage, is not so negligent as not looking after a damage of shame. So Kavanah Lahazik is the reason why you're potter, because it's Kavanah Lahazik, it's much harder to stop and prevent once it starts. So therefore you're less negligent if you don't prevent it. So even if you write shame or high, but with no caring of life.
I've got two questions. One is, both of these are predicated in the after the event, after the animal has done the damage, not before the animal. In other words, there's no prevention in either case required prior to the damaging starting. My second question is that even if I can stop the animal, he's already damaged. He started eating, he had no command to damage, he just was hungry. And I can stop easily, but nevertheless, he's had at least one mouthful of food, so he's damaged. So I haven't stopped the damage.
I understand your question. So both cases of the Tosis is discussing a scenario where he hasn't yet started, but he's now in the process of moving forward to go ahead. He sees the vegetable patch at the end of the field, and he's now walking. You see him walking in that process, and we're saying, look, he's already started walking. He hasn't yet started consuming everything, but you know what he's about to do. He's going to go over there. He's a bit peckish. So therefore, jump in at that stage and stop it. If you don't, you're held more accountable. But if he's ready, he's started his run-up, and he's about to charge, and he's making all those mooing and huffing noises, he hasn't yet charged, to step in at that stage to prevent it, the actual charge and the damage is much harder, and therefore you're less accountable with respect to shame at that stage. Yeah. So basically Joseph is saying the two sides of the coin in the Gemara is the trigger is much easier to control by the keren than the shame, because it's more, there's no outside factors. But once it's triggered, it's much harder to stop it actually go ahead with its plan with keren than it is with shame. So therefore, you can learn, if you like one, not the other. Each one will be saying you need to learn the other, because each one, you wouldn't know the other, because you could say Sforas Lakan and Sforas Lakan, which case is more negligent. Now, if so, it explains the Havamina. Okay? Is the Havamina sound very good now? Does the Havamina sound very good? Does it sound good? Does it sound logical, Havamina? If you just write Shane, I can't learn Karen because Havamina, that Shane is worse and you're more negligent than Shane and Karen, and vice versa, if I write Karen and you're not Shane because I have a logic to think that in some way Karen is more worse. Is it that way Tosis has explained it, and now a nice reasoning and explanation over here, why each one has Chidushim over here, that you can't learn from the other, because in each case I would think this is more negative than the other for different, in trigger this one's more negative, and in stopping and preventing this one's more negative. Is it sound good? Does it sound good with this?
It is not.
Sounds good. Okay, so now we go to the next question. If it sounds good, at least plausible, either good or plausible, then what's the last question? Love called the homo? What are you talking about? You're talking nonsense. That's the last wording. You're talking nonsense. Call the homo. If you're ready, chayiv, when it has no kavana. So sure, the owner's going to be chayiv when he's malicious. That's the last question. What do you mean? You told me the logic of the husband is good, or at least plausible, so you can't say, cover homo, that's nonsense. Where are you coming from? Where's the answer coming from? Where's the matas? Once you give me such a pshat in the Havamina as being plausible, or even good, then what's the problem with it to say, nonsense, there's a cover homo out there, it doesn't make sense what you're saying at all, meaning I'm speaking this stage that you did, whatever you said didn't even start, as far as I can say, what you said never started. Why did it never start? You said a very good thing, which has certain basis now to it. It's plausible or good. Very good. Very good, Vegetarian. Very good. Let me repeat. It depends where the starting point is whether your logic is correct or nonsense. That's where it is, that's what the discussion. The Havamina has a certain starting point and comes out with a certain logical theory, whether it's either plausible or good, fine. Then the answer, Mataritz, is saying nonsense because he's saying your starting point is nonsense. And maybe everything you're saying is nonsense. Now what is the Mataritz answering that? What's the starting point? What is the machlokas in the starting point between the Havamina and the Mishkanah? That the Havamina says, my starting point is like this, I have therefore logical theory over here, and the Torah says, I've got different starting points, and therefore everything is nonsense. What is this machlokas of starting points? Where is this machlokas starting point? So if you look at the papers I gave out, yeah, you got it? I gave it to you. I'll put it up on the screen. We'll see how. See, Tosfos never explains what the Mishkanah was. But we look at the Shittah Mekabetzes, and we'll see how the Shittah Mekabetzes explains what the Mishkanah is. Says the Shittah Mekabetzes, he's explaining the Mishkanah. Mari Pirish, the heart of the Omer, the love of the Chomer. That the Mishkanah says, that's nonsense, it's a Kav HaChomer. Lo koi akula b'chuma d'shem. The Karen, Abali, is trying to say to you, don't talk on the starting point, that kulas and chumras that you're working out on the Balim, in reference to the owner, Ella, Kula Bechumas has to be referenced to the behema, has to be referenced to the animal. Kula Bechumas can't be referenced to the owner, which is your starting point. Kulas and chumras have to be in reference to the animal, and then if it's a reference to animal, what you're saying is nonsense. Now, what does this sitter mean when he says, if the starting point is the balim, you've got something to say, but if the starting point is the behema, you've got nothing to say, it's nonsense. What does he mean, balim and behema? What does he mean by that? What does he mean, balim and behema? Mr. Goffman, what do you want to say?
It seems that the same machlokas, it is a money or it is negligence.
Also, Mr. Goffman's in the heaven to what Mr. Bloch said. Okay, so let's speak out what the Rebbeinu of the Mechubura is telling us. They're telling us like this. When he means if the starting point of the balin, then what you're saying is good, but the behemoth is not good. What does balin mean? So Mr. Bloch, Mr. Goffman said, balin means is that why is the owner chayav when he's damaged, when his money damages? Why? Why is the owner chayav when his money damages? So if you say it's because of the balin, what does that mean? That means that the reason why he is chayav whenever he manages his money damages is because he's negligent. He, as a human being, is negligent in looking after his animal. So he, as a balim, did something problematic. And that's why he's chayav. So if you tell me the reason why you're chayav forever, only ever paying, is because of negligence in looking after it, then Mr. Havamina, or Rev Havamina, you got good logic then. Understand? You're asking what's more negligent, what's less negligent. Looking at you, Mr. Balim, are you more negligent, less negligent? You got sparse, the card and the card. You got even the sparse to say you're less negligent in Kenan because once he's got something in his head and he has kabbalah, it's impossible to stop him. We can't hold you responsible for that. It's terribly impossible to stop him. In your negligence, you're less responsible. But for Karen, then Shane is easy. To stop Shane is not so easy to stop Karen. Fine, you said something good. But, says Reb Mataritz says, your starting point is wrong. We're not getting you as an owner to pay because of negligence. That's not the reason why you pay. We're getting you to pay because your animal, your money, is the extension of you. Whatever your money does is you doing. That's why. You're connected to the money. The money does it like you doing. That's why you pay. If so, we're not really interested in whether you're negligent or not so negligent. That doesn't define whether you pay. The other day, the animal damaged. We want to look at the animal. What's more of a damager? An animal which damages because he's got consumption reasons or a malicious damager? Which one is more of a damager? Of course, the malicious one is more of a damager. So therefore, if the reason why you're paying is because you've got something out there damaging of yours, the one that's more of a damager is the malicious one. And therefore the Gemara says, Kama Chomo, it's nonsense what you're saying. To say that Shane is more of a damager, that's nonsense. Because we're discussing damages, and damages, of course, the one who is malicious is more of a damager, and if you're a chayav on the one that's less malicious, you're chayav, so clearly you're going to be chayav on the one which is more malicious. So therefore comes out, the Machavim and the Mataritz are arguing, why does the owner pay that? Famous Sakira that we had in the beginning as well. Why is Mr. Owner paying? It's because his negligence or because his money is him and it's just extension of him. That at the end of the day, according to what the Shita is explaining the answer is, based on what we saw, is that the Mahamina thought that the reason why you pay is because of negligence. So there's reason to say Karen is less negligent. And Ms. Goddard says, that's not the reason why you pay. Well, the reason why you pay is because your money is a section of you, and the one that's more the damager is more, of course, again, is going to pay. Therefore, Karen, Shane is less likely to pay. If you're going to pay by Shane, of course, again, you're going to pay by Karen. That's more of a malicious damager. So if so, if that's the Mataritz, now we have a question. What's our question? This is where we're going to leave it, because it's just in time to finish. Here's the question. Not everyone was with us on Shabbos for Asher on Shabbos. But what did we come out with being a machlokas being Rashi and Tosfos is in this shayla? According to Rashi and Tosfos, what did we come out as being the reasoning why the owner paid? What did we say? Rashi held it's because of negligence. Tosfos held it's because it's extension. So Gavaltik, the Gemara makes wonderful sense according to Tosfos, because there was a Havam in there, which it was negligence, but at the end of the day, the Maskana was, it's nonsense, the reason why you pay is because of extension. That's what Tosfos actually holds, because that's the Maskana of the Gemara. But Rashi holds Levaita, that the reason why you only ever pay is because of negligence. So how's he going to learn the Maskana? If it's the reason why it's because of negligence, that's the real reason, then the Havam is good. In Hilchos negligence, Karen is less negligent. That is the question we're going to leave you to think about. So tomorrow, how's Rashi going to answer the Muslim? Okay.